Now, today on the travel show, we're off to Southern Africa. If you've thought about going to the country South Africa, you may wish to make a detour to visit Swaziland, a tiny nation that is completely surrounded by its neighbour next door. In all the reading I've done about Swaziland, some words appear again and again. Warm, friendly, a tiny country with a huge heart is one description of Swaziland. We're going to hear all about it now from Jenny Bowen, who arranges tours and tailor-made holidays to the country through her business, Sense Africa.
Swaziland's a bit like Africa in a nutshell, so you can see a little bit of everything. It's really safe and exceptionally friendly, and it's great for first-time visitors to Swaziland. So first-time visitors to Africa, they will see a bit of culture, they'll see a bit of the scenery, they'll see the wildlife, and they'll have their own little mini-adventure all in the safety and friendliness of Swaziland.
Looking at some of the pictures that are surrounding you, you've got a rhino there. You don't see that in Europe, obviously, unless you're in a zoo. But the countryside, I mean, it could be part of it, could be the South Downs, it could be parts of France. It doesn't have that kind of look that you expect from Africa. Are they just cleverly chosen shots, or is that the look of the place?
No, that is definitely the look of the place. It's actually divided into three different ecosystems. So you've got the high fells, which has beautiful mountain ranges, and I like to call it magical Malolotcha. It's one of the game reserves there, because if a dragon popped up from behind the mountains, you wouldn't be completely surprised. So you've got the high veld, then you've got the middle veld, which has got a lot more boulders. It's obviously lower down, but it's got these incredible rock gravings and different types of scenery associated with that. And then you've got the low veld, which is where your typical African savannah, where you expect to see a leopard dripping out of a tree.
So how great an area are these three different types of landscape contained within? How long does it take, say, to drive north to south?
It's the Kingdom of Swaziland, about the size of Wales. It will take you roughly 4 hours to drive east-west and maybe five north-south, so that's the beauty of it. You can be in different... You can start off in the high veld, have breakfast there. Before you realise it, you'll be having sundowners, watching the rhino and elephant drinking in the low veld.
You say it's really safe, and that's interesting, because a lot of people would be a bit concerned about Africa, particularly South Africa. We hear lots of horror stories, whether true or not, I don't know. Why is Swaziland so safe?
Great thing about Swaziland, it's all one tribe. So there's none of the angst you get in quite a lot of the other African countries. It's also just really friendly. You'll have people just smiling to you on the side of the road. I've even had people who were doing a self-drive, and they got a puncture, and two guys just popped out of the bushes and changed their wheel for them. It's that sort of place. You get welcomed into their hearts and into their country.
So is there a high degree of policing, or is it just that's what the place is like?
It's just what the place is like. The most time you'll see the police is actually with speed cameras on the side of the road to make sure that you're not speeding. That's probably when you'll only have your only introduction to the police in Swaziland.
What is the speed limit?
It depends. It changes quite a lot, so you do get caught out. So watch the speed signs when you're driving.
That's a good tip, isn't it? So when people stay in the country, how long generally will they stay? A week or 2 weeks?
I normally recommend, if you're first trip to Africa, make the most of it. So 14 days is ideal, where you get to see a little bit of everything. So you can stay in game reserves, you can stay in lovely lodges set in the hills, you can even actually stay in a local community, and you've got those community-run ventures out there. Or if you want to have your own lodge in your own game reserve, then you can stay there as well. And that's the beauty of Swaziland. You just have a little bit of everything. There's something for everyone there, and it's a great experience.
What about lazy travellers that just like to have crisp white sheets at the end of the day and see things from a window? I mean, can you have that as well?
You could, but I wouldn't recommend it, because you're not seeing genuine Africa, and Swaziland is genuine Africa.
So what's the capital like?
Capital is Mbabane. I don't spend that much time at Mbabane because it's more of a financial running centre. So it's best to get out of the towns and explore the homesteads and the beautiful countryside that Swaziland's got to offer.
And people who do like shopping, are there things which are uniquely made in Swaziland that are great things to bring back?
Yes, there's some wonderful things you can buy that are unique to Swaziland. The first thing is Ngwenya glass. And you can actually see these glass animals and glass glasses being sculptured in front of your eyes, which is fantastic. And the other is Swazi candles. So again, you can see the workmen that they're creating these wonderful giraffes or elephants or rhinos in beautifully coloured wax. and they stick in a little wick, and there you are. You've got your own Swazi candle. Other things as well. Gone Rural is a great place because that's a community-run initiative as well. Supports local women and empowers them. And they weave different types of mats and vases. And these are great things for presents and light to carry when you go home.
What are the must-see sites? If you went to a shop where they sold, say, postcards, what would the images be?
Don't often get that many postcards, but postcards that you do see will be pictures of wildlife or, more importantly, pictures of culture. So your typical Swazi dancing, and you will see Swazi dancing wherever you go in Swaziland, whether you're staying in different resorts or different lodges. It's quite often people will be dancing on the side of the road or dancing around the fire at night. It's just a joy to watch.
It was, I understand, a British protectorate until the 60s. So are there any signs of Britain now?
Yes, it's still got that air about it, which is lovely, and most people speak English there as well, which makes life much easier when you're travelling around. Especially if you get a little bit lost, you can just ask for directions. So there's that hint of Britain going through, which is part of the cultural heritage of Swaziland.
So it's not a nightlife type place?
No, it's not really. There are places you can go for the nightlife, but I wouldn't recommend it because it gets a little bit rough in the evenings.
Solo female travellers, is it okay for women on their own?
Yes, it is. I travel around Swaziland by myself. Very safe, I recommend it. It's really easy to get around. Just don't drive at night. And the danger for that is because there's cattle wandering across the road and you might not see them. So my advice would be is, yes, travel around, but make sure you travel during the day.
Are there any cultural tips, things that you shouldn't do, like mentioning, I don't know, the monarchy or something that is best not to express an opinion on?
I think the one thing is when you shake hands, shake with your right hand and put your left hand on the top of your forearm. That shows that you come in peace. And it's really good. People will always go, ooh, when they see you do that, because you're respecting the culture. So I would say that. And the other thing is maybe just to keep a little bit lower and show respect to your elders, because they have a really big thing about respect to their elders in Swaziland.
What would be a traditional Swaziland meal? What would people eat at home?
They normally eat what's called mealie meal, so it's maize that's ground up into a powder, which is then mixed with water, and it comes out a bit like a porridge, or it could be a more solid, bit like couscous, but much more solid, that's then dipped into a relish. And then they might have a bit of inyama, so a bit of meat as well, depending on what's around, so maybe goat, which is very tasty. And if you go to some of the game parks, then you might get game meat, like impala or warthog, which is very tasty.
Warthog? Doesn't
yes,
sound
yum.
Tasty, does it?
It is really nice. It's like pork, but it's got that air and that taste of game in it as well. It's delicious, and it's not half as fatty as pork.
If you have food challenges, or say you're vegan or vegetarian, will you starve?
No, not in the slightest. Their butternut soup is delicious. That gets served all over the place. They're really into their fresh vegetables and salads. So, vegetarians are welcome as well.
And in this connected world, is Wi-Fi accessible?
Yes, it is. And a lot of the places today have Wi-Fi. And then if you've got 3 or 4G, then mobile reception is really good. In fact, it's probably better in Swaziland than it is in the UK.
What about specific events and festivals that would be good to go and experience? Are there things that happen during the calendar?
Yes, there are, although they're not set in stone. It's set with the moon, so it can be quite difficult to preempt when it's going to be. But you've got the two main things that happen. One is the reed dance, and that happens at the end of August or beginning of September, and that's when you have the maidens come to celebrate the Queen Mother. And the last time I was there, I saw 60,000 maidens dancing, and it was quite extraordinary. And then you also have later on in the year, or the beginning of the following year, depending on how the moon rises, and then you've got the chief's dance, and it's when all the men come to celebrate with the king.
So in all the time you've been in Swaziland, what's the secret thing you've uncovered? What would be the tip you'd perhaps share with friends, or if you took somebody there that was a close friend, that you might not necessarily read about if you get Lonely Planet or whatever?
I would recommend spending a couple of days in a community. So there's a community called Shawula, and they have a venture there that for tourists to go and really experience genuine Africa. And I think it's a brilliant way to really understand that you get welcome into people's homes there and you join in with whatever the community's doing. So you never really know what's in store for you when you go up there, and I think that's the beauty of it. And I have to say, the scenery from Shawula Mountain Camp is extraordinary.
And practicalities, where do you fly to?
You can fly to Johannesburg, and then there is a new airport which we've just opened up, an international airport called King Maswatu III, and that gets 3 flights a day from Johannesburg, so it's a 50-minute flight. Alternatively, you could get a transfer or drive, and that would probably take you around 4 hours to get to the Swazi border in the west.
And you don't need a visa if you're British?
No, you get a visa automatically on entry.
And the cost of things, is it relatively cheap compared to Britain?
At the moment, it's fantastically cheap because the rand to the pound is brilliant.
So these the rand, are they?
Yes, so they're tied to the rand, so that is absolutely brilliant. So I recommend anyone to get out there now, because you get a really good value for your money.
Jenny Bowen, and you can find out more about her business at senseafrica.co.uk. It's the Travel Show. Today we're in Swaziland, a tiny mountain kingdom surrounded by South Africa. They're very proud of being a monarchy. They have a king, he's an absolute monarch. And the country is also very proud of the wildlife and the fact that they have followed a conservation path for over half a century. Anne Riley is from the Big Game Parks and manages 3 game reserves.
And you are from Swaziland, you're born and bred.
Absolutely.
And yes. A Swaziland greeting, if I was going to be polite in Swaziland, I would say...
Yebonjani means hello and how are you? Yeah.
Now tell me about some of the wildlife, because you manage 3 different parks?
Yeah, long history actually, it's 50 years ago plus now. But it started with Mlilwane Wildlife Sanctuary, and actually Swaziland's wildlife had been hunted out. So we've, as an organisation, we brought back 22 species of mammal back into the kingdom.
What can people see quite readily then?
Warthogs, definitely, on every park in Swazi. A lot of common game, zebras, wildebeest, impala. In the high felts, you get your blesbuck. In the low felt, you've got lions, rhino, elephant. Yeah, it's a very intriguing experience getting very close to rhino, but that's a speciality. Yeah.
How close do people get to the wildlife?
Our parks are very small, and our guides generally know the different animals individually. So yes, it's you can get relatively close, but we don't. Obviously, you don't want to promote that too much. But we do say you can be very intimate with our wildlife.
And each of the parks has got, I guess, a different kind of feel and different wildlife within it?
Yeah, I think your sort of Zambias and Zimbabwe, Kenya, they're all very expansive. Our parks are small, as I say, but it provides a totally different experience. So getting in amongst, you can go walking on Mlilwane where you literally almost walk through a herd of zebra, and you have to kind of remember that they're wild, and you've got them walking through camp. The Nyala come through camp. In Kaya, you go walking with guides and you get relatively close to animals like rhino, certain rhino, not all. It depends on the people. There's a lot of adventure tourism that goes on our parks, horse riding, mountain biking, hiking, and then other parks it's all guided. So yeah, nice variety, I think.
Are you very proud of being a Swaziland national then?
It is a great country. It's unusual. It's spontaneous. Yes, in a word, yes. I think what Swaziland offers is you can go out there. If you show just a tiny bit of respect, you're going to have the most awesome time. If you're going to go out with a preconceived idea, go somewhere else. But if you really want something real, go out with respect and you'll come home smiling.
Anne Riley, you can find out more about her business and the wildlife of Swaziland at biggameparks.org. If you're going to visit the country, you'll need somewhere to stay. So let's talk to a hotelier. Ruth Buck has operated the Foresters Arms Hotel for 30 years. It's about half an hour's drive from the capital in the mountains. And she's seen tourism develop in the time she's been there.
Oh yeah, I think it's become a lot more important. And especially, you know, with sort of changes in Africa generally, politically and all that sort of thing, and people traveling more and more to our region, which is fantastic. And Swaziland being sort of quite an unknown country, really, but it has become more and more onto the map. And people know it as a really relaxed, safe, different type of Africa.
You're from South Africa and you live in Swaziland now, so does it feel different living in Swaziland compared to the country next door?
Oh yeah, very different. Yeah, totally different. In fact, every time I've been in South Africa and come back over the border, you just sort of feel this whole different atmosphere. Swaziland has a very strong culture, and I think you're immediately aware of that when you come across the border. Interestingly, our guests have said the same thing. You know, they often say, well, you've only been here for 2 hours, but we feel different. And there is that sort of aura about Swaziland where you feel you're in a sort of a totally different world.
It's more relaxed.
Very relaxed, very relaxed. And the people are really friendly, drive along the roads, the children are waving, and it's and driving actually in Swaziland is really nice. I mean, apart from the scenery, which changes all the time, there's the people. It's lovely watching them. Because about 65% of Swaziland is what they call nation land, where people build their homes. And they have really nice little homes, and you can go along and watch them at different times of the year, you know, cutting the grass to redo the thatching, or children looking after the cattle, and that sort of thing. So there's all those nice little things that you can see as you're driving along. Swaziland would have been part of South Africa if it wasn't for the fact that after the Boer War, the Boers who'd inhabited Swaziland during the Boer War were then asked to leave by the British, who then came back. And it's because of that that Swaziland has always remained a totally independent country and never become part of South Africa, which of course is huge compared with tiny little Swaziland.
And what do people think about the Brits in Swaziland?
Well, I think they rather like them, actually, yeah.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Swazis generally love chatting and meeting people and that sort of thing. I mean, we've had amazing incidents, you know, where guests have had a problem with a car or something, and, you know, Swazi will come along and say, oh, no problem, you know, I'll fix that, I'll do it. And they're amazing. And people say, wow, you know, where else in the world could you be?
So what's your hotel like? It's not a massive sprawling resort. It's not a tower block. What is it?
Very different, actually, yeah. Built in colonial times, really. Well, when Swaziland was a British protectorate. So about 1955, I think. And there was a farmer, a settler farmer, who decided he was a bit tired of the farming, would like to have a bar. And so that's what he did. He built the bar. And that's how he started. He abandoned the place quite soon after that. So it's been through a lot of different changes. And then operating really as a hotel for a long time now. And yeah, changed a little bit, but still got that original sort of colonial type of architecture.
Where would you take somebody? If you had a friend that came over and stayed with you, where would you take them? What would be your secret place in Swaziland?
Well, I like the oldest mine in the world, which is in Swaziland.
What was mining what?
They were mining red ochre, they think about 40,000 years ago. For body painting and spectrorite, and supposedly, you know, these little people would then be dancing around in the moonlight, you know. So I find that quite a mystic place, and lovely views from there because you're sort of walking on the top of the escarpment, and just a really nice different place. Great for a walk, but it's also got this aura about it, so I think that's a really nice place to start.
As you know, I spent a fair bit of time at the World Travel Market, the trade travel show in London a few weeks back, and met a number of people from different destinations the world over. And I have to say, the team from Swaziland were possibly the most positive and proud of any destination I spoke with. You can find out more about Ruth and the Foresters Arms at foresterssarms.co.za. You can also find out more about the game reserves at biggameparks.org, and we spoke with Jenny Bone. First of all, find out more at senseafrica.co.uk. If you've been to Swaziland, we'd love to know what you think about that destination, and we welcome your feedback and comments. Get in touch.